It's truly wonderful to be together in a moment and praise his great name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. We were made for this, to praise in all kinds of ways his great name. He is majestic. He is wonderful. He is great. He is worthy. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb, high and lifted up. And he is worthy of all our praise, all our worship, without exception. And it is our delight, as often as we gather together, to praise his great name. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thanks, Pete. Wonderful. Just to praise his great name, he is worthy. We're going to be carrying on this morning in our little series we're doing at the moment. And we're thinking about the church. And we've been singing about the church this morning. And I'm excited. People say that, don't they, a lot in churches, excited. It's good to be excited. But anyway, I am, actually. I'm excited about what God is doing in and through his church. Increasingly, this gets a bit personal, increasingly, through this church, there are things which God is beginning to bring to the surface, and he's actively building. And he's building here, he's building now, he's building through you and me for the praise of his glory. And I'm excited about it. God is faithful. God is faithful. We're full of all sorts of good ideas, which sometimes aren't good ideas. But he is faithful. And he is faithful to build in such a way as to bring glory and honor and praise to his name. And it's wonderful, and he's doing it, and he's doing it in us, he's doing it through you and me. We're thinking about the church. I want to continue really from where Johnny was last week, who brought a brilliant message, thinking about the church and thinking about the church as family. And I want to kind of start in the same passage, and we're going to go somewhere very similar with it, different but compatible, and just want to explore out this area a bit more. And so we're in Acts and chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 41, and I'm going to actually read this to us from two different versions. So we're just going to like home in here for a minute. So one of them is what I'm usually reading, and this is the American, New American Standard Version. And then I'm going to read the same thing to us from the Message, which I think is helpful. So we're going to read, this is Acts chapter 2, and verse 41. So then, those who had received his word, Peter, so then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Wonderful. Wonderful. I just got to stop here for a minute. Everything that we've just read was the spontaneous act of the Holy Spirit. Nobody in this moment had a methodology of church planting. Nobody. Did they? They didn't. What did they have? They had the power of God in them. In them. And that reality of God began to work out of them. There was a spontaneous activity of the Holy Spirit in his people and out. Out of his people. That's mission. Wonderful. God is at work and he's building his kingdom. Let's read this from the Message. That day, I love this, that actual real time and place moment, it happened on a day. That day, 3,000 took him at his word, were baptized and signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal and the prayers. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony. Wow. All the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal, a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day, their number grew as God added those who were being saved. Wonderful. Wonderful. What I'm going to do for us now, I'm going to now go back through that little passage of scripture again. So this is the third time. And I just want to bring out a whole bunch of stuff. In fact, somebody else has done this for me, but I found it helpful. So I'm just going to give us a list. All of the things that I'm just going to highlight, we just found all of them right there in the beginning, Acts chapter 2. So, number one, what we just found in that passage of scripture, there were people telling people about Jesus. That's a good place to start. They were telling people about Jesus and they took him at his word. Number two, there was water baptism. Number three, they were teaching the Bible. Number four, they were hanging out. They were building community. Find it in that passage because it's there. There was life together. That's what it, how it was referred to. Number five, communion, the common meal. Number six, sharing meals together. Number seven, prayer. Number eight, giving to one another and to the work of ministry. Number nine, meeting in small groups from house to house and in large celebrations in the temple. Number 10, there was worship. They praised God. Number 11, there was multiplication. Their number grew as God added those who were being saved. All of that right there in the beginning, and nobody had a plan except God. Wonderful. All of those things, they are the activity of the church of Jesus Christ from the beginning until now and going forward. All that stuff, it is rich, it is life-changing, and I think we could do with getting into some more of those things. So that's what we're about this morning. It's wonderful. So here it is. If you've been here the last few weeks, you're ready for this moment. What is God doing on the earth? Oh, come on, it gets better every time. God is building his church. It's what he's doing. If you want to narrow it down, it's what he's doing. and he's in love with his church. God, if you haven't noticed, God is passionate. And he's passionately in love with his church. And he's building his church. And his church is to bring glory to him. Wonderful. God is building his church, and he is building his church on the earth. He is building his family. He is building his community. He is extending his kingdom. And it might surprise us sometimes how he is doing this. And we're going to have a little look about some of that this morning. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's good to be together. It's good to be together. We are together because of him. That's really what we're going to home in on this morning. We thought a bit about family, and we're going to be thinking a bit, and this is just really a continuation of the same thought. We thought a bit about family. We're going to think a little bit this morning about community. Community. And I know sometimes words can be confusing. Sometimes you use a word like community, and it's like, where has your mind just gone in that moment? Some people, you use the word community, and they're thinking like wearing sandals and growing vegetables and all living in the same house. I'm not talking about that, though that might be attractive to some people. What I'm talking about this morning is common unity. Okay, I like messing about with words. Community, common unity. That is what we have, and that is how and why we gather. We have common unity, and I want us to think a little bit about community this morning. The first option, sandals and vegetables, the first option usually has a lot to do with natural affinity, doesn't it? If you're up for that sort of stuff, you get together with people that are up for that sort of stuff. There's a natural affinity. The second option has everything to do with spiritual unity. And let me tell you, that's stronger. Natural affinity is not enough. Spiritual unity is essential. And it is actually what gives us affinity and connection together. It is not natural affinity, it is spiritual unity. And it's like, let's make this distinction this morning. It is spiritual unity. I just want to give us a quote now. This is a quote by Tim Keller. And it's helpful, it gives you a clue what I'm on about. So Tim Keller, he put it like this. In the gospel, Jesus Christ is breaking into the lives of all kinds of people. Suddenly, you find other people who otherwise are different in every way, except the deepest passion of their lives is to love Jesus Christ. When I find somebody whose deepest affinity is my deepest affinity, think of the potential. Think of the potential. Christian friendships are so radical and so exhilarating and so enriching. Think of the potential. Now, I know in this moment, some of you are thinking, not so far, Matt. We need to rethink church on all kinds of levels. And this is one of them. You know, I was talking to somebody fairly recently and they just made a comment about their wife. And they said that she didn't feel like she really had any close friendships. Friendships. And this couple had served in churches for years. There's something wrong with that. We must rethink church. In many ways, we must rethink Christianity. How do we do that? We get back into this. This is Christianity in action, and I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry for it. Together. You know, I was in a church once, and there was a lady there, and she shared with me one day how she thought friendship, having special friendship, it was just like there's no real place for that, because we're just all friends. And it's just like we all have common unity by the Spirit of God. But friendship is important. Jesus had friends. He had particular friends. He had relationship with other people. And it matters that we know one another. Oh, you're getting nervous now. It's important that we build common unity. We build community. And we build community partly by connecting with one another in real ways. Do you know what? It takes courage. It takes courage to do that with other people. But what gives us the strength and the foundation is common unity. The life of Jesus Christ in you and in me. And I'm hungry for that life that is in you. And I want to share in it. Wonderful. This gets a bit real, a bit fast. And it's supposed to. It's supposed to. It's wonderful. Some of my closest friends are people I have no natural affinity with at all. And I celebrate that fact. They really are. And I have friends. Let me put this in context. I spend most of my life on a building site. Some of my closest friends are graduates of Cambridge University and Oxford University. One of my friends is a nuclear physicist. I've got nothing in common with these people whatsoever, except the life of Jesus Christ. And there is something in those men which is of God, and there is something in me which is of God, and there is this witness of life. And it's like, yes, that is a brother. That is a brother. And it's wonderful. Our relationships together go beyond natural affinity. They go beyond church culture affinity. That is important for people that have gone to church for a long time. God, He will set you free from your past church cultural experiences if you need it. And He will connect you with people, with spiritual unity. And there will be a witness in your heart, in your life, in response to other lives. And it's like, whoa, I've just found a family. It's amazing. This is God in a man. Wonderful. Wonderful. Christians are not converts. Christians are not converts. They are sons and daughters. They are brothers and sisters. They are family. Christians, in this sense that I'm talking about it, in this sense, Christians are not converts. They are sons and daughters of the living God. And that makes a big difference. They are sons and daughters. Christians, they are made alive spiritually. They are made alive by the Spirit of God. And it is this life of God that gives us community, common unity. His life in me, His life in Andy. And it's like, I know Andy. I know Andy in a deep and profound way. Why? Because the life of God is in that man. Not because of any other reason, although he's a cool guy. But that's not why. There is a common unity, and it is there because of the life and the Spirit of God. It is from this place that God builds His church. This is a beginning. It is a beginning, but it is also how things continue to build in His church. And it's like, this could take us all over the place. Here it is. Keller, think. Think of the potential. Think of the potential. All sorts of different people, different backgrounds, different cultures, common unity. Man alive, that's powerful. God can do anything with that. He can change cities. Here it is. He can change this city. We sang this earlier. Change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere of this city through your church. God is bigger than we are. It's wonderful. Wonderful. God is at work. In this sense, the Christian church is a family of common unity. When the life of God is the single factor for our community, the church is a wonderful place of hope and togetherness. What do you reckon? It is. It is. Sometimes you hold stuff up. Oh, amen. That's right, B-Lin. Sometimes you hold stuff up and you just think, look at this, guys. Look at this. It's beautiful. And there can be something somewhere hidden in your heart and you can think, Matt, that's too good to be true, mate. It isn't. It isn't. Christ died for this. That he, in this way, could build his church. And that his collective church could represent, be rightly representative of him. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And God is at work. Christian community is not based on a shared belief system. Shouldn't be, not fundamentally. Christian community is not based on a shared belief system, but on a person. A person. A person living in you. A person living in me. This is how he builds. This is our togetherness. He is our togetherness. And let me tell you, there's nothing, no one stronger. This is a bond which is unbreakable. It's wonderful. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The bond of commitment. Johnny mentioned this word last week, didn't he? Commitment. Culturally, Western culture, we don't like this word very much. Commitment. What are you on about? We need commitment. God births something in us which is willing, and not only willing, but wants to be committed to first himself and his purposes, but therefore other people. Committed. By the way, I'm committed to you. By God's grace and his enabling, I am committed. I am committed. And I love it. I'm committed. And he does this in us. The bond of commitment this brings is greater than any natural affinity or connection. You know, people the world over long for connection with others. Got your attention though, didn't it? People the world over, because we were made in this way, long, there's a longing. That's like a deep thing, isn't it? It comes from somewhere in us. God made us like this. To long for connection with others. And we were made for this. We were made to live within a community of acceptance. God, this is holding something high, isn't it? Think about it. We were made to live in a community of acceptance, of love, and of forgiveness. Forgiveness, we need all of that. But here's the thing, acceptance. Acceptance. I want everybody in this room, in this moment, I really mean this. I want you to know there's acceptance. There's acceptance. I don't care where you've been. I don't care about your history. I don't care where you find yourself in this moment. In this moment, in the Church of Jesus Christ, there's acceptance. Because of him, there is acceptance. There is acceptance not based on my particular preferences. That isn't why there's acceptance. That is not acceptance. It is not based on my particular peculiarities. And I might have some, but it's not based on that. You know, within any family, I think we'll all testify to this, within any family, there is a vast variety of humanity. Would you agree? Amen. Within any family, there is a vast variety of humanity. What that means is we're all different, doesn't it? We're all different. And God did that on purpose. And he celebrates that fact. And it's wonderful. When our common unity is that of the life of God, I can know deep commitment and relationship to people who are nothing like me. And I celebrate that fact. I love that fact. I can know deep commitment and relationship with people who are nothing like me. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. You know, growing up, me and my brother, we were different. He's 2 years older than me. And growing up, my brother was into art. Salvador Dali. He had pictures, I remember this vividly, in his room. We were teenagers, in his room. He had Salvador Dali pictures on his wall. I'd just be scratching my head. It's like, Dominic, what is this about? Like, I listened to Bob Dylan and played rugby. And in the holidays, I went surfing. It's like Salvador Dali. It's like, mate, what are you on? And we were very different. And we're still very different. But we are family. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make a blind bit of difference. We're so different as people. And we're so family as brothers. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It doesn't change family. One of the healthy hallmarks of Christian community is acceptance of each other with all of our differences. I'm going to say that again. One of the healthy hallmarks of Christian community is acceptance of each other with all of our differences. I don't accept you because you're like me. Praise God that you're not. I don't. It's nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with that. But I find connection and relationship and community because of the life of God in you and in me. And that mingles. We share that together. And it's rich and it's strong. Where there is a genuine acceptance of each other, it removes, when there is a genuine acceptance of each other, it removes the pressure to conform to a particular personality type, but instead allows for the richness of diversity. Doesn't it? When there's acceptance, when we accept one another, when we receive one another on this basis, exclusively, this opens the door wide for diversity of expression. God did that on purpose. Why? Because it is through diversity of expression that he is more glorified. If we all had my approach, it would be limiting to the glorification of God. But as we are ourselves, as he has made us together by his Spirit, that is something different altogether. And that is far more glorifying to God. This is one of the reasons why I hate religion. Do you know what religion does? It forces conformity to a set of rules. Jesus Christ emancipates people to have the courage to be who he has made them. I can be the person that God intended me to be. And you can be the person that God intended you to be. And here's the miracle. We can be in the same place at the same time, in love with him and one another, and show something of his glory. Man alive, you couldn't make this stuff up. This requires the life of God in you and in me. That is our point of connection, and that is how God builds community. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Stay with me. There's some practical stuff we can do about this in a minute. This is wonderful. And I'm into this. God is building in this way. It's like a little heads up for us this morning. He's doing this everywhere. But for us, at this time, and moving forward, this emphasis, this Christian life, God is after this. He's after this in you, and he's after this in me, and he's put us together on purpose. And he's going to show something of himself through this. And it's like, whoa, this is wonderful to be a part of God building his church in this way. Forgive me if this makes you think of somebody else, but I have a dream. I have a dream, I really do. I have a dream. I have a vision for church where people feel free to be the people God has made them to be. The tragedy of the church so often is that that's not true. That's the tragedy of the church. To have a vision for church where people feel free to be the people God has made them to be, each one expressing the life of God. Key point. Expressing the life of God. Not natural affinity. Expressing the life of God in a great variety of ways. I am not asking you to be like me, and I am not going to be like you. I am asking that you have the courage to be the person God intended you to be. Some people live their lives, and the person that God intended them to be stays in here somewhere. And it's like, no, no. Jesus Christ came, and he came to emancipate and to set free and to set at liberty. And one of the ways in which he does that is he liberates men and women to have the boldness and the courage and the confidence because of his acceptance to be the man and the woman that he intended them to be. Wow. This is the church. Does this happen anywhere else? In a mixed gathering of people. Not in this way. Not in this way. A right representation of Jesus Christ. A right representation of Jesus Christ is unity in diversity. It is. It is only he that can make this a reality. Unity in diversity, his church, rightly representing him. This is a liberator, this stuff. You don't need to conform to some invisible status quo. You do need to be radically obedient to Jesus Christ. There's a world of difference. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. How do we encourage connection? Human, spiritual connection. How do we encourage this as a people? As a people, I've got some ideas. How do we encourage connection, relationship? That's a scary word for you. Relationship, transparency. How do we encourage transparency? How do we encourage honesty? How do we encourage accountability? How do we encourage community? How do we encourage these things? Well, I'm not going to read that passage in Acts chapter 2 again, but do that in your own time and apply it in your life. Apply it in your life. I'm thinking it's going to change your life. Actually, I really do think that. I think as I continue to increasingly apply those things that we read in my life, it's going to change my life in practice, in like real everyday sort of stuff. It's going to impact me. It's supposed to. It's supposed to. It's real. It's real. A gathering on a Sunday is of great importance for worship and teaching and celebration, but it is community that gives substance and authenticity to our weekly gatherings. Church life is not an event on a Sunday morning. Church life is not an event on a Sunday morning. I think you're with me, aren't you? It isn't. It isn't. We need it. We need to gather together regularly in this way. And we need to praise God together. We need to encourage one another. Worship, teaching, different things that go on a Sunday morning. It's important. We need it. But an event on a Sunday morning is not church life in and of itself. And if it has become that to you, forgive me and get involved with some of this. And we're going to do it. This is where we're going. And I want you all to come. This is where we're going. Church life is not an event on a Sunday morning. So what am I on about? I want to encourage common unity. This requires courage and commitment. So there's a heads up. This approach, the church, it requires courage. You can find that in God. It requires commitment. You can find that in God. The church, it requires courage and it requires commitment. Commitment to him and to one another. You might, it's possible, and we probably all need to do this in different ways, you might need to drop the mask of professional service or having all the right Christian answers and be real with others who love you and want to walk with you. God. That's pretty radical, really. It sounds quite easy, doesn't it? But that's pretty radical. I want to walk with you in your life. And I want you to walk with me in my life. We could put it like this. I want us to know one another by the Spirit. There's going to be some pretty big personal implications to that reality. But we're after this. I want us to know one another. I don't want us to just turn up on a Sunday, although don't stop doing it. I want us to know one another. I'm hungry for this. One of the reasons why is I know that that increasing reality increasingly brings glory to Jesus, because it can't happen any other way. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So, I find, practically, I can't engage in this particular way with like 70 people all at once. And I think probably, however expert you are in social dynamics, I don't reckon you can either. It's not my forte, so I'll give you that. But I don't reckon any of you can either. But I reckon that I can do this with like half a dozen people. I reckon I could do this with a dozen people. What do I mean? I mean, in small groups, I can get to know people. I can get to know people in that context. And it's just like, you know where we're going, don't you? So I have a vision of church where every member is part of a small group of common unity. Why? Because of all of these things that we've just been hearing about and thinking about. This is why. Because this is achievable. It's achievable in a big way, but to start with, it's achievable in a small way. I can get together consistently. That's what we read in Acts chapter 2. Continually, I can get together with other people, little group in my house, come round, let's eat together, let's pray together, let's encourage one another. Like, that sounds easy, doesn't it? That's simple. That's simple. That's Acts chapter 2 simple. That is changing lives simple. That's changing community simple. That's accessible. I reckon I can go for that. I can get together consistently in my life with a few people and we could get to know each other. Wow. That's a game changer. There's all sorts of things that are going on within that small group dynamic which encourages common unity. There might be a host family. There might be a consistent reality. That means it happens regularly. It's not a nice idea. So it must be a consistent reality. And it will then have an increased reality. As there is a place to go, and as there are the same bunch of people going to that place and sharing that out together in terms of location and lives and what's going on at any given time, life is flexible. Life changes. Things happen. And the church is flexible. It's supposed to be. Often it's completely inflexible, but it isn't supposed to be. Acts chapter 2, that is a flexible dynamic of the people of God exploding on the earth. It's incredible. Look at it. It's an explosion of growth. But when you look at the specifics of how that was happening, do you know something? There was relationship. People knew each other. They got together. They shared what they had. It's like, oh, there's somebody in need. Let me help out. Let's get together and like, you know, you've had a hard week. Let's pray about that. Let's eat together. Do you know something? Stuff happens in relationships, sitting around a table, sharing food that doesn't happen on a Sunday morning. Amen? It's true. It's true. So it's important. It's important. If I wanted to, if I just came together on a Sunday morning with you guys, I could keep you at arm's length emotionally. I could keep you at arm's length. If you come round my house and sit round my table and we eat food together, that's a lot more difficult. And it's supposed to be. It's wonderful. We could get to know each other in a whole new way. I'm promoting it. Let's go for this. Why? Jesus will be increasingly rightly represented by his people on the earth. It's wonderful. This is simple. I'm glad about that. There is an increased intimacy. Now here's the thing, that's not an end in itself. This is why it's so exciting. That is not an end in itself. Do you know what happens then? That little dynamic, that is a missional opportunity. It is a missional opportunity. I can embrace men and women into my life. Come and meet my friends. Come and get to know people. Let's just talk together. Let's know each other. It's like, come on a Sunday, sure. Sure. But you might find that this dynamic that is a consistent reality in your life embraces hurting men and women and gives them somewhere to go. That's a game changer. It is. It is. God. God is building his church. This is how he's doing it. Incredible. There was an explosion of growth through this simple process of sharing the life of God in an intimate collection of people. They regularly met from house to house. They shared food together. They also consistently got together, if I can put it like this, for a Sunday morning event. So we got both things going on, but we need both things going on. And we need to grow as a church in this direction of common unity. And that growth of intimacy, one of the consequences of that is that this Sunday morning event will change in its authenticity, in its rugged reality, in its kind of unbridled delight in Jesus. Do you know why it's unbridled? Because you will find that in him, you can be you in the church. So it's like, oh, that's good then. That's good then. I can come together with my brethren who love and accept me because of Jesus Christ, and I can praise God out of the expression and the personality that he has given me. And so we'll find all sorts of things going on a Sunday morning. Now, don't get scared. I'm not talking about chaos. The Bible has given us some order, and it's like, I'm loving that. But we can be the people that he has made us in his church. Wow, I'm rethinking. This is good. You, this is so important. You can be you to the praise of his glory within the context of his people. And you don't need to hide. You can just come out there and be who you are and glorify Jesus Christ. This is beautiful. This is the church. He died for this. Let's get to know each other. Wonderful. This active dynamic going on amongst the people of God is a church where pastoral care or care of any kind, a church where care is not left to select professionals, but it encourages ministry in every single member. There is opportunity for growth in individual lives. There is opportunity for growth in direct ways. It makes it more difficult to be an observer, and it facilitates being a contributor. I have a vision where every single member is an active contributor to the church of Jesus Christ. Forget about this 80-20 nonsense. I'm not having it. I'm not. Jesus didn't die for that. He didn't. Every member, committed, active ministers. Ministers. Here it is. Look around, everybody. Everybody, a minister. A minister. A minister. A minister of Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Wonderful. Wow, this is worth getting out of bed for. These groups are easy environments to bring friends and embrace the broken. That's it. That's what it's all about. I mean, we're benefiting massively from all of this stuff, but it doesn't stop there. This is an easy, you know, over the weekend, Charlotte was talking to our neighbours, and she's been given till Christmas to live, and one of the consequences of that is she's a bit more open to the gospel. And so they were chatting, she was very tearful, and her husband, their older couple, he's always been a bit more open, it seemed, and we're going to start soon doing a little group in our house, and I realised that would be so accessible to them. It's just like, I'm going to struggle to get them along here on a Sunday morning, partly because physically she's not very able. But they could just come round. What do you reckon? This ain't rocket science, is it? It's like there's an environment of a few people of love and acceptance based on the reality of Jesus Christ. And into that context, I'm bringing some friends who currently don't know Jesus. That's just like, cool, that's a recipe for something good, isn't it? It's like, there it is. Think of the potential. Think of the potential. The potential is this. Your mates might come to know Jesus. Like, personally, like, I'm into big evangelistic events. Like, that's cool. That's probably somebody else's job. But this stuff, it's just like, come on. This is within reach. We can do this. It's like we can have a little group. Mate, do you want to come round? We're like having dinner together. Or we're like, I don't know, anything. What are your interests? You could get out some natural affinities at this point, and other people might connect with it. And it's just like, wonderful. Wonderful. It's good. It's good. I unashamedly want all of my friends to know Jesus. I do. I do. I don't apologise for that. I want all of my friends to know Jesus. Why? Because I love them. And I know that their life will be so much better if they knew him. Mine is, my life would be a shocking mess without him. And I know that that is what they need. They need Jesus. It's like, mate, come around. Let's have a chat. This is doable. This is doable. But it happens first with us. And it's going to take courage. And it's going to take commitment. Wonderful. This is a start. Where we are is never as important as where we are going, is it? And what I'm doing this morning is I'm holding this up, and it's like, guys, if you want to know, and I know you do, if you want to know, this is where we're going. Come. Come, pray about it. It's going to impact your real life. So it's like, take it seriously. Pray about it. And it's just like, Jesus. Radical obedience to Jesus Christ means this. It does. And that changes other people's lives. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. This is our direction of travel. And I invite you to have courage to embrace change and explore our common unity through walking it out together in the rugged reality of our lives. It gets real fast. It's wonderful, it's supposed to. We can walk this out together. And you know, I'm going to tell you this for some of you. One of the things that this is going to do for you is it is going to provide an environment and an opportunity where God will touch you where you need to be touched. I know that can be a bit scary, but we need to change. It is absolutely right that we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are because he changes us. He changes us. And this church that we've been thinking about this morning, this church, this provides an environment and an opportunity for change where it matters in your life and in mine. It takes away room to hide. And although that can be a bit scary, it is a wonderful gift. He changes us from the inside out. And part of how he does that is he uses each other. Wonderful. Shall we stand together? I'm going to pray. We finished.